This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tell you what I'm going to do this week, Ruth. Instead of the
We're away. Oh no, we're just doodling.
Yeah, well, doodle away if you want. But I've decided to do something slightly different this week. Instead of starting with a lame joke, which I've noticed I've been getting looks for.
At first, it was a novelty, but now it's just a bad joke every week.
It's just a bad joke.
It's not even your bad joke.
No. Well, instead, we're going to start with a quiz.
A quiz? Okay.
Yes, I'm going to read you a lyric from a popular song, and you have to tell me the song, right?
All right, okay.
Your house was very small.
I already know it.
You're joking.
Yeah, Disco 2000.
Oh, goodness sake.
By Pulp.
Yeah, with Wood Chip on the Wall.
I told you that was my...
When I came
you didn't notice this yet. Because you've not had Spotify for a year. When it gets to New Year, it does a rundown of like what you most listen to band, what you most listen to song, what you most listen to album, most listen to genre was. And my most listen to song was Disco 2000.
I went through about
a 3-month phase where I genuinely listened to it on repeat every day.
Really?
It suits every mood. It's good for a dance, it's good for melancholy, it's good for everything.
Well, it's a great lyric, and I was listening to it in the car, and I thought, oh, I'll do that as a little quiz, because I knew you were familiar with the song, but I didn't know you'd listen to it that much. I just thought, oh, that's a great lyric, Wood Chip on the Wall. I mean, who knows about Wood Chip?
And when I came round to call, you didn't notice me at all.
But do you know what wood chip is?
Yeah, of course I know what wood chip is. Grandma's got wood chip.
Everybody's grandma's got wood chip. But it's not something I expect a young person to know about.
It's not as trendy anymore, is it? Actually, there's wood chip in this room.
Well, no, sort of.
That's wood chip. You can hear our voices change because we're looking at the wall. That is wood chip.
Yeah, okay.
What is it called when it's swirly? Grandma's got it on a ceiling.
Oh, I used to know that. We had that done.
You know what I'm on about?
I know exactly what you're on about.
It's like little fans.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're on about. We had it done in our before you were born, in our old house. And I can't remember what it's called. I'm going to find out what it's called.
No, here, I'll just Google it.
'70s. Artex.
That's 70s.
That's very 70s. We have the kitchen Artex.
But it must have got...
No, 80s.
I was going to say, it must have got come back in until the mid-1980s. The Artex coating was made with white asbestos to strengthen it. Therefore, old Artex manufactured by Artex Limited will contain asbestos, while Artex coatings applied after 2000 may or may not contain asbestos. There's different colleges at York, and one of the other colleges called Derwin, which is the one that people tend to take the mick out of the most. Just because I don't really know why, but one of the chances, Derwin has asbestos. Like, no.
Mm. Well, years ago you said...
It doesn't anymore, I don't think.
No, they won't.
But it did for a while. Because it's all 60s.
Yeah, life was so exciting in those days.
You never knew if you were going to die.
Yeah.
Although someone did see a rat in the accommodation that I'm in.
A rat?
Yeah, someone said the rat ran across
their
window.
They're all over the place, rats.
Yeah.
Might have just been a...
Like rats?
They are, exactly like that. So, you've now done 2 weeks at university.
No, three.
3 weeks at university.
The first week was Freshers Week. I've done 2 weeks of actual...
And it's quite intense. Tell me what you've
It's quite intense. My course is... I'm sure it's not like this for everyone. A lot of courses don't have... They only have about 4 hours of actual lessons, then a lot of downtime to do reading and stuff. But mine is a lot of contact hours. I think I have about 12 contact hours a week, which is quite a lot for a degree. And that's all seminars apart from one. I only have one lecture a week.
What's the difference between a seminar and a lecture?
So a lecture is in like a big hall where the professor just stands there with slides and you talk and you take notes while he talks, whereas a seminar is much more like a traditional classroom. My Spanish seminars, there's only six of us in
them. So we used to have, when I was at university all those years ago, we used to be called tutorials.
I think they generally call them seminars, but some of the people will still refer to them as tutorials. Or I think in some classes, some subjects, maybe they call them workshops as well, but they're generally called seminars where you, if you're doing a traditional subject like politics or history or something, it'll be, you'd go to your lecture, you do your reading, then you go to your seminar, and so your lecture informs the reading and then the reading informs the seminar. Mine's a lot different because it's languages, so mine's just a lot of learning-based stuff. I do a lot of grammar.
You're learning Spanish from scratch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did we say this last week?
We didn't say this last week. I mean, we said how intense it was last week, but you're learning Spanish from absolute scratch, which amazed me because you've got, what is it, you've got 1 year to get up to A-level standard.
Yeah, because you do, some people do post-A-level Spanish, so they've done it at GCSE and done it at A-level, so they've been doing it for 7 years, and then they go and do the degree, like how I'm doing for French. But you can pick up Spanish from absolutely nothing. But it means that next year I'll join up with the students who are doing who have done the 7 years and are doing their degree this year. So I've basically got to cover up to A-level and a whole year of degree in this 1 year. So it is really intense. You go like a rapid pace, like doing loads and loads of stuff, especially in the like grammar lessons.
And have you had classes in sexual consent? The reason I ask is because it was in the papers the other day.
Haven't had classes, but it is pushed a lot. When you went into your room, there was like posters put on the like pin board. They're all taken down now because they were ugly, but they were put up there. And one of them was like consent read. And then we had a big talk about like a few different things, but one whole section of it. It was about like how to settle in at uni or uni life or something like that. And one of the big sections was about consent, and like it was very consent focused rather than it being like general sexual health. It was consent was like the buzzword or whatever. Watched a video, which we'd already seen at college actually, but it was, and pretty much everyone had, about making tea. And so the metaphor is you only get a tea for someone who's asked for tea. You don't, even if you make someone a tea because you think it'd be nice for them, you shouldn't force them to drink the tea. They don't owe you anything if they've asked you for a tea and then they decide they don't want it. Don't give someone a tea if they're unconscious. Don't pour tea on someone if they've said they don't want it. Even if someone had a drink of tea with you last week, it doesn't mean they want a drink of tea this week. Yeah, so that was the whole thing. So, but it does feel a bit...
So you're not giving any... Nobody's trying to force cups
No one's forcing tea on me, no.
Yeah.
And then one of the...
Is that what the boys see as well? Because I think they laugh their head off thinking, oh, well, that means it's okay. So as long as we don't give them a cup of tea, we can take them back to our room and the sexy assault them as much as we want.
I think you kind of do make an interesting point because... As we were walking out of it and I was chatting with all my flat and everything, we were saying they're trying to do this thing where they normalise it, destigmatise it, but actually what they're doing is kind of in a way stigmatising it on another level, because if they just said, don't force someone to have sex with you, don't force someone to have sex with you if they're too drunk, I think that would be a lot more clear and a lot more serious, and that would destigmatise it to use the actual words, you know, where... We're all over 18, some people who are 21 years old, you know, starting the course, and we don't need to be spoken to like we're 16. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think
they're treading on eggshells, aren't they? Because
yeah, exactly. But they shouldn't be treading on eggshells. They should just be saying it's wrong, and you shouldn't need a metaphor to explain it to you.
Yeah, and apparently it's two thirds of universities are teaching sexual consent classes. What they're trying to do is give you a serious message, but not offend anyone, make it simple and whatever.
and dumb it down. But it shouldn't be. You know, you're old enough. If you're old enough to be having sex, and they give out condoms all the time and stuff, and you can go and get them for free. They gave out Uni of York radio condoms.
Oh, is that your campus station?
Yeah. URY or something.
Are you going to be on the campus?
Don't think so. I've not signed up for anything.
Oh, you should never say never. No, you should definitely sign up.
But anyway, they do. And so if they're saying you're old enough to be having sex, then they shouldn't talk about it like it's this really taboo thing that needs to be dotted about. Especially, I get the point of the video, but I think it's more, it should be more for 15, 16-year-olds, not for 18, 19-year-olds, personally. Do you want me to tell you what I made today?
Oh, tell me what you made today.
Well, I had a cheese toast. I missed breakfast. We'll begin.
Let's get the important stuff out of the way. So, that's sex done. Tell me about your cheese toasty now.
We'll begin with, I missed breakfast. I get breakfast in my cateredness, but I had some work to do in the morning and I thought it's going to take too long to go and come back. So I thought, I sacked it off, didn't get breakfast, went to my lecture, went to my first seminar. I went to my library workshop at first. Boring. Went to my seminar, came back to the flat. I had an hour, so I was like, right, I'm going to make something. Everything takes way too long to cook in the kitchen because you don't know where anything is and everything's dotted about. And I also, all I had was cheese and butter. And all I had in my fridge was the meal prep I'd made last Friday, which, how long can you keep stuff in a Tupperware box?
Oh, for ages in the fridge.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. As long as it's not gone green or it's not smoked. What was it you made?
I made... I'm doing quite well. I've done two meal preps and done it properly. I looked up a recipe on the BBC Good Food student recipes. It told me, though, it was going to take prep time 10 minutes, cook time 10 minutes. I genuinely must have been in the kitchen for about 2.5 hours. I was chopping for what felt
what
like
is
days.
It you made?
Okay, so I made... It was called some fancy name, but you don't need to know that. It was onions, garlic, carrot, cabbage, and rice that you put all together. And then when you have it, you serve it with a fried egg. So it's kind of like egg fried rice, but different. Mm. It's like a proper recipe with a bit of soy sauce, and then you get some chili sauce to put on the top. And that was one of the things that they said was it's from some country, I don't know, ever. All I had in my fridge was half a cabbage, which is never going to get eaten.
No.
My meal prepped rice, cheese and butter and hummus. Done.
Right.
So we have a communal area to use up the foods, if you're not going to finish something. So it's mainly bread. So I saw someone had bread and thought, I'll make myself a cheese toasty. Only had an hour, which is not long
it's
enough.
It's sufficient to make a cheese toasty.
Yeah, at home I could do it in about 10 minutes. Mm. But here everything takes so long. I don't have a fish slice or a spatula thing. So I had to, and all I have is a wok as well. Mm. So I had to make my cheese toasty in my wok for starters, which is not ideal. I had to wait for ages. And the only way I could compress my toasty in order to be able to flip it was to get my other saucepan, my one that I use to cook pasta in, and press it on top. So I'm pressing my pan into my wok, and it was embarrassing. Yeah. There's some people in the flat who can actually properly cook and stuff, and have got the right utensils. And I was stood there with my pan and two spoons to flip it because I've got no spatulas.
Hmm. Turned out all right though, did it?
Yeah, it was really good actually.
Yeah.
Quite innovative.
Can I quote, I didn't have a fish slice, # first world problem?
No, that's not a first world problem.
What? To never have a fish slice?
A fish slice is a pound. I just don't have one. It's not if you were I didn't have an avocado, that would be # first world problems.
Right.
Just as I was making it, I was stood there with butter on the bottom of my pan. And I thought, wouldn't my mum and dad be proud of me that I'm doing adult life so well?
You've been out to quite a few places. I noticed a picture of you on Instagram in a 1970s outfit.
Yeah, did a 70s night. Mm-hmm. Follow me on Instagram. Ruth_Kellner. I went on a 70s night. I had a little, a flowery top and flared jeans and stuff on.
Yeah.
It's quite back in those 70s fashion because everyone's wearing flared and stuff. It was very fun. We went to a bar called Flares where there's a claw candy grab machine that kind of we put £2 in, but then it must have broken or something because we literally got infinite goes. So I've got loads of drumsticks in the bottom of my bag.
Oh really?
Yeah, which is nice.
That's a result, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of this sort of infantilising teenagers now in the nights out, because there are places you can go to that have ball pools,
That's more of a London thing, these ball pools. It's not quite
Shoreditch,
spread up here.
I think,
but
there's restaurants where you can go, they're hipster restaurants, but you can go in a ball pool.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, I guess.
but that if you were going to take the same sort of thing, isn't
yeah.
it? Same sort of idea.
If you were going to take a really sort of maybe pretentious view of it, or yeah, making it a bit more deep than it probably is, you could say it's that thing of we're living in a increasingly like uncertain world where you're not allowed to be a child for as long because of like social media and the internet and pressures and whatever, and so people kind of return to it.
Could be.
Later in life, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you've raised it.
Very fun.
Yeah. Oh, you enjoyed it, and you've got lots of drumsticks out of it. So.
I've not been eating nearly as many sweets.
No.
Don't have them in, yeah.
Yeah.
All I've got is about half a pack of digestives left.
I have to say, you do look very healthy.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, the copious amounts of alcohol is probably not helping.
Well, it's maybe...
It's so funny, though. We go to these lectures and seminars, and we're all like, oh, gosh, I really feel quite sick, I'm tired, or whatever. Blame on absolutely everything, you know, it's being away from home, or I'm not eating right, or I think there's damp in the building, it's always so cold, and we have to, you know, get up really early. The last thing any of us blames it on is going out every night and staying out till 4 a.m. and drinking shots of tequila, like.
Yes, damp in the building, we'll get it every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Damp in the building, you see those early morning tremors, I've had that myself. Now you've raised the sort of psychological aspect of people wanting to get back to childhood and all that. This is there's loads of these reports out at the moment. This is one from the Department of Health and the Department for Education about the psychological health of teenagers, which... it won't surprise you, is declining. You know, there are more psychological problems for teenagers. Seeing friends face-to-face and getting a good night's sleep are the best ways for teenage girls to ward off psychological ill health, according to this government report. It's the first State of the Nation report on children's mental health. It found that these two actions, seeing friends face-to-face and getting a good night's sleep, were far more important than staying off social media, which had only a small effect on teenagers. So it's not because of social media.
I think they kind of go hand in hand, though, really, don't they?
Do you think so?
Like, most people don't get enough sleep because they stay on their phones really late in bed. You're not spending time with your friends because you're, like, online. Like, or even when you do, you're not as present in it.
Well, teenage girls, it said, were particularly at risk of poor mental well-being. The report said, noting that the most recent NHS mental health survey found that almost a quarter of 17 to 19-year-old females had an emotional disorder. So that's 25%, it says.
It's a really high percentage.
It is, isn't it?
Is that eating disorders in that as well?
Well, yeah.
Because they do count as a mental health issue, don't they?
Yeah.
So I was going to say those are really high in 17 to 19-year-old girls.
Compared with 7.9% of males. So a lot smaller proportion of males.
Is that partially because...
And yet the suicide figures for males, you know, when they get...
That's what I mean. I was about to say, is that because the girls are just speaking about it more?
I think it probably could be.
Like, because I don't think men suffer from... apart from the stuff with eating disorders, which I do think affects women more than men, not that it doesn't affect men, really does, just slightly more, just because I think there still is a lot more pressure on women to look a certain way, be a certain size. Yeah. But... with sort of all the other mental health issues, I don't think they affect women more than men. I think women just talk about them more.
Do they give you sort of guidance at university? Do they try? You know, you were joking about, and I know you're not going out till 4 a.m. every night. You know, I know the odd one maybe. Then
I would say 2 or 3 a week at the moment.
As many as
but that's only because, like, on Freshers' Week, it's like 5 or 6 nights of the week or whatever. But now it is getting a bit more normal. I would say 2 nights.
Because you do have, we've already said you've got that, a lot of contact hours. You've got a lot of work to do.
I'm quite lucky because I think I have a tendency where I would be like, oh, I'll go out every night, never wanting to say no to, just this pressure to be like cool as well. Yeah, like the cool girl or whatever, that image. But I think I'm quite lucky that my flat kind of they're not tame or anything, but they will be like, well, we all need a night off tonight, which is nice because... it grounds you a lot more. So I do think I don't think there's a way that the university could say anything. Like, I don't think it would help. But there are lots of, like, different, like, support groups and stuff. There's, like, well-being stuff with tutors.
But do they check up on you all the time? Because...
No one checks up on you. Never.
No?
You have one meeting with your academic supervisor. But then there are things as, like...
One meeting, every week or every month?
Every term, I think.
Every term?
Yes, every 2 months. So, yeah.
Every 2 months. So have you had that meeting yet? Or?
Yeah, I had an initial one. But they say to you that that's not about pastoral care. That's about academic supervision. You know, if they notice that you're missing loads of seminars or loads of lectures or something, then they will say something to you, are you okay or whatever? And then you can speak to a tutor, but it's you who has to do the reaching out. there's not like a regular catch-up every week or anything where you would just say it.
I thought there would be because there was
Then there's a thing called Open Door, which is you can just walk in there whenever you want. But again, it's like you have to admit to yourself that there's a problem.
Is everybody still taking the mickey out of your accent?
All the time. Literally all the time. I can't even say... I was saying law the other day and I didn't even realise I said that word.
Law?
Law.
As in the law?
The law.
Well, that's all right. How else are you going to say it?
I don't know. Law?
The law. The law.
Law. Law. Like that, so, I think.
How do you say it?
Law.
Law. Yeah,
I think it's because it's... Because someone was saying, oh, it's at the back of your throat, the A.
See, throat.
It's mainly
throat
the...
Throat you pronounce.
Throat.
With
it. Yeah. Yeah. It's ur sounds. That's what I get taking the piss out of the most. There's two jurs in my flat as well. I don't think I've said jur for about 3 days without everyone going, jur, like that. How do you say jur?
Joe.
Yeah, see? Joe.
So, but don't lose it. Don't lose your accent. I mean, as we know, Mel B has done very well out of that accent. And Keith Lemon. Keith Lemon's got four new TV shows.
I really would hate to lose it. I'd be quite sad.
Yeah, would be a shame. But there are a lot of, we'll go through the emails in a sec, and as a lot of them said, there's a lot of Southerners you're mixing with now. Not changing your accent, thank goodness. But
I think if I get drunk as well, I get more Northern.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be if you want to get those Keith Lemon shows,
stay drunk.
Stay drunk. It's going to work. Thank you to Dean Heaviside. I've got so many emails this week. Whenever we say we've only had a couple of emails, we get a flood of them. I can't read them all out, but thank you to anybody who did email us. And Dean Heaviside, I can't read the whole email, it's quite a long one, but he says, you could keep this going for years to come.
Oh, I read this
you
one.
You could
it's
go
funny.
Through relationships, the dystopian world post-Brexit, marriage, babies,
hey,
house
the dystopian post-world, the dystopian post-Brexit world will only get us to blooming Christmas.
Yes, well, but after that, he said, right the way through house buying, right the way through to the...
That would be a good bit, wouldn't it?
This Dean Heaviside used to work in property, you see, and he said he enjoyed the bit last week. You know, you criticised me when I had a go at solicitors and estate agents. Well, he agrees with me. His interesting comments about solicitors and estate agents. As someone that's been involved in property all of my working life, I probably have to concur with Martin's sentiments, which basically were, I don't know how estate agents can walk around the street without having rotten fruit thrown at them. But he also says, as I say, he'd like to hear the podcast go all the way through beyond university, right the way through to the care home. Dave T says, hi, Martin and Ruth, long-time listener of the podcast, and this week's episode really brought back memories of my own daughter's early days at university. First few weeks were tough, but she eventually settled in and loved it. You settled
that's what,
in.
Yeah, but like, and I also
and
think
you're
like...
glad you went now, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, very, yeah.
We did talk that week. It was touch and go.
Touch and go, yeah.
You told us, no, I don't want to go to university.
And then I thought about it, and it was touch and go, yeah, but, and I am glad I went, but it's still like, I also think that settling in, you kind of imagine it as like, it'll be two really hard weeks, and then all of a sudden you'll be settled. But I really don't think it is. I think it's one incredibly hard week, and then you feel kind of settled for a while, and sometimes you'll feel completely at home, and then you'll have like a really low sort of couple of hours.
But that's not
still,
anyway,
yeah, I do, and I think you put so much. I really imagined that settling in, it would be like click of a switch, then I'm settled. But I think it's much more like I'll be really happy sometimes, and then I'll have 3 hours or whatever when I'm in my room or whatever, and just be like kind of sad or don't want to be in a group.
Give us a call.
Sad.
Give us a call at home.
Yeah, and then, but I also find it, this is different for everyone, I would assume, but I don't like ringing home that much.
No.
Some people I think it would be absolutely detrimental to them if they didn't ring home if they rang home at the rate that I do, I kind of ring every three days-ish, yeah. Because you're in kind of, you do go into this kind of university bubble, which I do think is dangerous. And I think that's probably why so many people lose contact with so many friends from home and regret it and stuff. I really have tried to like keep in touch with all my friends and arrange times to meet and stuff.
Oh, you're keeping in touch with your friends? It's just me and your mum?
No, because it's different though. Like, it doesn't take you out of a bubble in the way that when you speak to your family, that's when I start to miss them. you know, that ask a question or whatever. And it's just, I don't like to do it that much because I find that it makes me more upset than I would have been. And then if I'm upset every time I'm on the phone call, you think I'm upset all the time. Mm. But it's not that, it's just...
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I think I've had this discussion with your mum. Yeah. Because, you know, have you heard from Ruth? No, not everyone. Has she finished? She's not phoned me. She's not answered my text and all that sort of thing. And I always say, well, that's good. That's
I'm also busy as well. Like, yeah. Just on a kind of sort of like practical level.
Yeah. Finding 70s gear to dress up doesn't do itself, does it? You've got to go out and
yeah,
do
I
that.
Broke my, like, I'm not shopping at Primark ever rule. Got my 70s top from Primark.
The best part for us parents was going up to Sheffield to visit and being taken out to all the student bars, getting a pint for less than £2 and reliving our youth. I suspect the pint for less than £2 is more or less
disappeared
now. I don't
know, it's still in the actual student bar, it's £3.50 for a double.
Oh, wow, that's
I don't know
bad.
How much is for the other things.
No, well, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You can do... I've never done it because I'm not, like, a lad. I think it's a lad's thing. But you can do the 6 uni bars on Campus West. And so people do 6 in 60. So you do a pint every 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you go to each of the different bars. Yeah. Or the other drinking game that... I don't think I've seen anyone play this. It might be, like, a rugby initiation thing. I don't know. But you play a game called Centurion, which is a shot of beer every minute for 100 minutes. And so apparently they're doing, like, tilting
when you say
your
a
head.
Shot of beer, just like a
small... A shot size, but yeah, of beer. So beer. Not spirits. But apparently the tilting your head back motion just makes you throw up. Apparently it's absolutely, like, you think it wouldn't be that hard, 100 shots of beer, it's barely anything. But apparently it's unbelievably difficult.
Right. That's a game for you to play at home. It's in all the student bars, etc. Advice to Ruth that says Dave T is join at least one society, probably not the fetish society, and you'll love it. Keep on playing. Thank you very much indeed, Dave T. But you have joined. So you're playing netball. Tell me about the boxing.
I've got, yeah, well, I, oh my gosh, all, we, there's three of us, oh no, four of us girls from the flat went, and we've literally, none of us have stopped speaking about it. They're all the boys like, oh, back on boxing again, like when we talk about it. It was...
So you go every Saturday morning?
Saturday morning, 9 to 11. I've only been once. I say I go every Saturday morning,
but you're going to go again.
I'm going
Saturday.
To go again this Saturday. It's so difficult. Like, we got there 20 minutes late because we got the wrong room, so we had to walk back from campus. That people were already absolutely dying. I was like, oh my God. And literally 10 minutes in. So you do like probably about 2 minutes or 3 minutes of a combination that they'll teach you. You do fitness at the start, like just running and stuff. And then you'll do 2 or 3 minutes of a combination that they'll teach you.
There's a combination punches.
Yeah, so it'll be like...
Bag.
No. Someone has pads and you have things. Later on, I think a lot of the boys who had done it a lot, and a couple of girls, they were doing like sparring with each other, but with both of them had gloves on. But... we just did with pads. I don't want to hit people. Like, not interested in that. So they'll teach you the combination and then you'll do it for like 2 or 3 minutes. And then it's like interval training. So then, but instead of a break, you'll do like squat jumps or plank for 40 seconds and then straight back into another combination. And it was so, so difficult. I was like sweating so much after it. It was like...
So are you wanting to hard. Be? Are you wanting to be a lady boxer?
Yeah, pro boxer me. Yeah. No, I'm not wanting to be a boxer, but...
So you're not going to take it... You're not going to be hitting people. Oh, you do some sparring, will you?
No. I'll only hit people's pads. I don't want to do... You've got to buy a gum shield if you want to spar with people as well.
Oh, have you?
I don't want to do that. But I don't... I find it a bit violent.
Boxing. What are the other societies?
Doing netball.
Netball, yeah.
And then the drama.
And drama and...
That's it. That's all I've joined. But I'm still deciding whether to do, like, the newspaper or something. Mm. But it takes up a lot of time, yeah. Like...
You should definitely try and do the campus radio if you can, because you've had a bit of a start and got a bit of a tradition in the family of radio.
But I also don't want to, you know, go in and then... Because when I went over to the store...
You don't want to be Billy Big Boots saying, well, I'm already doing a hit podcast. Anyway, Forrest Flump got in touch with us. Not his real name. It's one of that radio thing where people change their names. He says, I'd like to wish Ruth the very best for a time in university. Thank you for that. I'd like to direct Dad towards a genre of music to cover that you may not yet have done. Bossa Nova. I love Bossa Nova, so I might do that 1 week. You could start with Jorge Ben and the other. And this with the Bossa Nova, if I play a little bit, there'll be a little bit of Spanish in it, possibly. So
there we go.
Help your language. So we may do that. And he's listening in from Indonesia. Yeah. Well, I'm so
far? I think that's maybe the further. Oh, no, we've had people in New Zealand, haven't we?
Yes, we have. But he's in Indonesia.
It's pretty far.
Obviously, I'm very big in the Far East at the moment because I'm on it.
Oh, yeah, course.
Ridiculous time of the morning here. And he says, he's called Michael. He says, I wish you both well and look forward to playing your podcast to my son in months and years to come to ensure he develops a good, solid British accent. So, he'll get a good...
Get a good Leeds accent.
He certainly will. So thank you for that, Michael. Thank you to Malcolm Tetley, who's a retired grumpy old Yorkshireman living in Bradford. So obviously,
lovely, a bit closer to home.
And Hugh Besant, who's been in touch with us quite a few times. He says, what are you making of the soft southerners you're now mixing with? Guildford, he says, is the rough end of Surrey.
Well,
there isn't a rough end of Surrey, really.
Relatively,
yeah. He says Reigate is where the proper people are. John Cairns.
The southerners, the soft southerners. They're fine. They're lovely people.
Good.
There's a lot of people from, like, kind of Midlandsy area, you know, like Leicestershire, Derbyshire, those kind of places. But not, you know, not true South style. I don't know.
No. And Andrew Mangian got in touch with us and said, very pleased there are a lot of southerners in Ruth's flat. It might reduce some of the anti-South sentiment on the show. you're not really anti-South.
No, they clearly agree. They've moved north.
Correct.
I am anti-South. No, I'm not anti-South. I'm anti London centric.
John Cairns is in touch. He says he likes the podcast. He picked it up from Talk Sport in season one, and he's with us right into season three. Brilliant. And he lives in Kyiv in Ukraine. Well, Kyiv, K-Y-I-V, but I think it's...
How do you say it?
Well,
how's he written it?
Well, we say it Kyiv, don't we? But I
think he's written it Kyiv.
K-Y-I-V. We might find out that's either the local spelling or it could possibly be...
A typo. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's the local spelling.
Anyway, he lives there anyway, Kyiv, Ukraine, with his wife and youngest daughter. And he says he loves the podcast so much because his eldest is about the same age as Ruth and it all resonates. My youngest, Emily, is in her last year at the international school, PSI, and we'll be heading off to university next year. I mean, the amazing thing about Ukraine is that it's now become the really hot tourist place. People go on these tours around Chernobyl. We watched Chernobyl on the TV. Fantastic
series.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Would you have ever thought from watching that that...
Yeah, then you're like, oh, I fancy that, actually.
Well, that's because everything is about experiences now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I still don't... I'm not sure how I feel about tourism around Chernobyl.
No.
Doesn't quite...
It doesn't, does it? But in a way, it's the same as tourism around the concentration camps, and people have been doing that for years, and now...
I still am not sure about it. I don't think you learn anything more from going there. I think it's really important for survivors and families of survivors, or families of people who died there. I think that's really important.
And that's the same for Chernobyl as it is
obviously
the concentration camps.
But I'm not sure how much more you learn... from going, I can't speak for Chernobyl, I've never been, but went to Auschwitz with school. We definitely went too young, we were like 12 years old, just too young.
It's like a picnic, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm just not sure whether, I don't think you learn anything more or feel anything more. And if you need to go to the place to understand that it's an atrocity, I don't get that, really.
No, I agree with you.
And then they have a cafe there, and it's just weird.
Well, have I told you that? I know I've told you off air. I just wonder if I ever told you on the podcast my story about the cheese pasty I got.
Oh, this is not a good story.
At Auschwitz. Did I tell you about this?
Yeah.
It was just the worst thing I've ever... I mean, it really was on every level. It was, you know, and I very rarely complain about foods.
But Dad... You very rarely complain about foods, but you're complaining about food in hell on earth.
Yes, I know.
That's... Do you know what I mean?
I didn't complain. I just... All I did was I got this and I was quite amused that it was so bad. And I did say to Janet, your mother, do you think it would be in terribly bad taste if I were to complain about the quality of the food in the cafe at Auschwitz? She said, yeah, probably. Don't tweet it. So I didn't.
And now you've just said it on air.
I've just said it on the podcast, but you know, just to reflect the fact that the whole idea... But I think telling that story actually does point up the fact of how ridiculous it is that Auschwitz is a tourist attraction and that Chernobyl is a tourist attraction. But I think tourism now is... a lot of it is people go to places like Chernobyl. It's so you can put a picture on Instagram and tell your friends that you've been there.
Have you ever searched the tag for, like, Auschwitz?
No.
So, you know, on Instagram, you can search for, like, a keyword or something, like, in tags. So you can look for, like, Auschwitz. and there's like 5,000 plus posts. So obviously some of these won't be bad or whatever. But then there's ones like this, of this girl who's taken like an edgy shot of her looking into the distance at Auschwitz. Don't take pictures there. There's, you know, there's plenty of documentary photos that you can look at.
I was at a hotel in Munich once, and Munich is very close to Dachau, which was the first concentration camp. And there was an American tour party in this hotel, and they had their schedule was on a notice board in the hotel. You know, their tour guide had put this up, and it said, you know, for this gang of Americans, and it said, "Don't forget, we're going to Dachau tomorrow. Don't forget your cameras!" Exclamation mark. And I thought, that exclamation mark is in the worst taste of any exclamation mark.
That's the worst
taste, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the worst taste punctuation.
Ever.
Ever.
Should we have some music?
Yes, let's have some music. We'll have a very short break and then play some music.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Start with mine this week, yeah?
All right, yeah.
Here we go.
Sheepdog, standing in the rain. Bullfrog, doing it again. Some kind of happiness is measured out in miles. What makes you think you're something?
Do you recognise them?
I think that was the Beatles, wasn't it?
It was the Beatles. I thought I might catch you out. Because it's... The only reason I play that is because there is a tendency amongst people of your generation to think of the Beatles as, oh, they did some jolly little pop songs, you know, well, then Rigby, or that sort of thing. And not as a very credible rock band, which they were. And obviously, paying 20 seconds of that doesn't... That was Hey Bulldog, by the way.
Right.
From Magical Mystery Tour 1969. Have you heard that before?
I probably have, but I don't remember it. I've probably heard it once.
But it was just really to point out the fact that the Beatles did make, you know, especially the White Album.
I'm glad you pointed out that the Beatles were a good band, because it is a niche opinion, and it's good that you've had the bravery to say it.
My bravery is in saying, and I did this on talk radio when somebody said, you want to...
So this is recycled material?
No, I didn't play Hey Bulldog, but on talk radio somebody, are you one of those people who say the Beatles are overrated? And I said, no, I'm one of those people who say the Beatles are underrated. However great you think the Beatles are, they were actually greater than that.
People like to not like the Beatles, though, you know, yeah, it's one of those things.
But it is popular. I bet there are people, you know, that you've come across at university. I don't know whether...
To be honest, we've not discussed the Beatles yet.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's been 3 weeks, Dad, and we've not had one conversation about the Beatles.
I can't believe it. I didn't realise you could go through life without... You know, referring to the Beatles at least once a week. Well, there you go. Anyway, do you want me to tell you, that was called Hey Bulldog, And the magazine Time Out, which is sort of London listings magazine, placed that song, Hey Bulldog, at number 27 on their list of the best Beatles songs. So that's not bad, is it?
That's pretty high, yeah.
And it's the genre of that is psychedelic rock. You know, when you see it on Wikipedia or somewhere, it's categorised as psychedelic rock. And people, if you said, name the top five psychedelic rock bands, people would say Grateful Dead and the various other bands that people know about, but people wouldn't say the Beatles.
They wouldn't.
But so I just wanted to point out, as well as being a great pop band, they are a great psychedelic rock band as well.
All right. And should we have my song?
Let's have
it. Do you want to just play it and then I'll explain afterwards? It's a song called Take Me As I Am.
Shots of the right, but that's future me. I'm glad I'm not that guy. With your hand above the fold, you're a scandal in the press. There's powers in your flowers, you're a damsel in distress. Take me as I am, hey, or watch me as I go. She said, take me as I am, or watch me as I go. Melodies of love or selling the dream. Everyone.
Yes, was that a little band called The Streets?
Actually, Dad, it was Chris Lorenza featuring The Streets.
Right, but it's very much like The Streets.
Because I've never played any of The Streets stuff because I feel like everyone already knows it. You already know it. And yeah. I just thought it'd be boring.
Very good, I like The Streets.
But they are brilliant and I really like them. So I thought I'd play this Chris Lorenza song. This is from his new album, which came out on October the 11th of this month. So really new. And Chris Lorenza is a Birmingham kind of house and bass sort of rave DJ kind of thing, but he's really big in the Midlands. I'm not really massively into that music. I probably wouldn't have listened to this if it didn't have The Streets on. That's how I kind of saw it. But it is very good of that type of music. You know, people like Annie Mac of like being like Chris Lorenza is great and stuff. Yeah, but she's a, you know, DJ as well. So yeah, that's the song called Take Me As I Am. And obviously The Streets, everyone knows where they're from.
Yeah, they're from The Streets.
Have you ever heard of a thing called Craigslist, like, personal adverts? Or, like, Craigslist, like, Lonely Hearts? Do you remember the thing?
Craigslist, very famous in America. Yeah, there's
Craigslist, I mean, a lot of people used it for furniture, you know, like Gumtree or whatever.
Yes.
But there was, I'm sure there's rom-coms and books based on Craigslist, personal
there
ads.
Are. Yeah.
So
it's a very big thing in America.
It was very. It's been taken down now. It's gone, the personal ads.
I think there was a murder, I think.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, I think so.
York University has an equivalent. It's called Your Crush.
Your Crush.
And I love it with all my heart. I think it's brilliant. It's people sending, you either send in completely anonymous, just like, saw you on the 66 bus and thought you were beautiful or whatever. Or like, girl in my linguistics lecture, I don't know, whatever. Mm. Boy in my history seminar, please go out with me or something. Like, but it has been taken down, Dad.
Oh, no.
About, I can't remember, it was either yesterday or the day before or something. I went to, you know, go and check it, because as I always do, someone in our flat got on Your Crush.
Right.
So we've got this big board in our kitchen that's got, you know, things like throw up, or like kiss someone in a club, get kicked out of a club, go to hospital, get on Your Crush. And then there's like a tally chart and you keep track, it's like points or whatever. Mm. And so we added get on Your Crush because this boy in our flat got on it. And then a couple of days ago, because someone complained because it uses the F word a lot. How crap is that? So Your Crush has been taken down, but hopefully it's going to get put back up. Because it's, like, genuinely broke my heart when I saw it had been taken down. But luckily, I screenshot four of my favourites. Cable knit jumper in V-bar. That's the bar that's attached to one of the colleges. In V-bar tonight, you are cute AF from an unexpected person right under your nose. Some of them are quite cute.
I love them.
I'm in love with our maintenance man and I'm running out of things to break.
That's brilliant.
It's someone's initials and then it says, you said you'd never get a Your Crush, but you deserve one. And then this one's good as well.
So it's like a pun, York Rush. And
your crush. Yeah. There's one for Durham, which is called Tinder, but D-U-R. I think most unis have one, but I just clearly didn't know.
No.
And then this one, hottest girl in TFTV, which is the film and television course. Maybe this year is our year. I thought that was really cute, isn't it? Aren't they brilliant?
They are brilliant. Why has it been taken there? Just because people complained about the language.
I think someone complained about the language or whatever. Yeah.
Or it's probably a bit sort of to do with sexual harassment.
There are some that are like really rude, but I think it's okay, and I want it to be okay.
Of course it's okay.
And I just I want it to go back up.
They have a similar
like to look at it before I go to bed.
In the Metro newspaper. I know you've seen the Metro.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a newspaper you pick up on the train or on the bus. And they have a feature in there, but they're sort of slightly less literate than the ones that, you know, I was eating a pasty from Greg's sitting opposite you on the 27 bus.
I picked out some of the tamer ones, though, and the ones that I kind of liked and I thought were sweet. But some of them are either, like, incredibly soppy, like, too far soppy, if you know what I mean. They're, you know, it's love at first sight or whatever. Those ones are quite sweet because they're quite realistic. Mm. And then some of them are just, like, you're fit.
But you've not
like,
been...
a bit boring.
Not being featured yourself.
Oh, no, Dad. The other thing that people do is, like, people... there's, like, a York, like, meme stuff and whatever. And a lot of the things that will be, like, pictures of people, like, really focused and, like, looking for your initials on your crush. Because you can type, like, your crush and then your initials to see if anyone ever writes about you.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I don't know whether I should have told you. Maybe it's something that you have to be, like, stay in the uni. But I do love it.
Secrets of York University. And do you have a meme of the week, Ruth?
I think I do. I'll just go to my saved post and see. I've not saved anything. Do you want to know what my... because I save them in my Instagram saved stuff, but my last saved one is the one we used last week. And then the other thing I've saved is revealed the 20 firms behind more than a third of all carbon emissions, which is not funny.
Not funny at all. What thing?
So we can take this, instead of a meme, Dad, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you about the 20 firms behind more than a third of all carbon emissions.
Well, let me tell you what Andrew Mandrian says about Extinction Rebellion. A few emails I've not done yet, but he says, in that vein, this is a real sort of thing that a slightly older person would say about Extinction Rebellion. I'd have more respect for Extinction Rebellion if, when protesting at Canary Wharf and City Airport, they didn't stop for lunch at Carluccio's, placards resting against their knees beside their Kate Spade handbags.
Yeah, but they're doing something. I can't get on board with that sentiment.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I understand why you would do it. I just don't know. Can never get it all together.
Let me just, as I've got the emails in my hand here, otherwise I'll forget them for next week. Donna McManus says, you don't need to worry about the, tell us about the carbon next week. Keep that. Hold the thought there. And come up with a meme next week as well. We'd like to finish with something amusing. Or if some more York Rush, if you can't find a meme.
It's gone, Dad.
Oh, but they'll put it
I can do, I hope they do. There's something called Your Fashions, which is York Confessions.
Oh,
but some of those are pretty gross as well, actually. Yeah. Some of them are like, I weed in the sink in our kitchen.
Yeah,
and
don't need that, really. I hope Ruth is enjoying university, says Donna McManus. Donna says, I went to Leeds University a long time ago, and I can say it was probably the best 3 years of my life.
Aww.
She loved hearing people say Jure, and so she says, I'm a born and bred Londoner, but absolutely loved living up north. I still count my university friends as some of my best friends of all time. I came back to London eventually, but I still love the northern sense of humour, and I visit as often as I can. I'm nowhere near Ruth's age, but I find myself agreeing with her on most things. One of my favourite books is The Handmaid's Tale, and also 1984. I also agree that Friends is the funniest thing ever. Brackets, my husband hates it. Well, obviously he does. He's a man. I love Harry Potter books.
Plenty of men love...
they don't love it. They might tolerate it, I think.
I disagree.
No, I don't think a lot of men don't love Friends. And I don't think everybody loves Raymond.
A lot of men love Friends.
Does anybody love Raymond?
No.
Right, we'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
With hopefully a meme and maybe some more York Rush. And your boxing.
Hopefully.
And your boxing.
Yeah,
boxing
updates, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.